Hello and welcome in to the latest edition of ESPN FC. And once again, we start today's show by waxing lyrical about Bayern Munich. They're in action today against Fortuna Düsseldorf, and this was men against boys stuff. 5-0 victory for the defending champions, and it's a win that now puts them 10 points clear at the top of the table with Dortmund in action tomorrow. Let's welcome in, shall we, Ali Moreno, Julien Laurent and Stevie Nicol. Stevie, I want to start with you because these sort of games are kind of tricky to talk about too much, because what is there really to say?
Actually, for me, the thing that stuck out since the Bundesliga got back, and indeed Bayern, no surprise Lewandowski, you know, Gnabry's been great as well. Alphonso Davies doing his usual on the left. I'm kind of beginning to think that the guy who's as important to Bayern as anybody in that side is Kimmich. You know, I can honestly say previously I wasn't sure about his move from full-back to the middle of the park. I wasn't sure whether he was just a water carrier. But, you know, since the Bundesliga started, he's kind of shown that he's got a lot more things than just that. You know, he did score the goal against Dortmund last weekend, but in all the other games, he has absolutely been involved in every single thing they've done, not just going forward, but defensively. So for me, I'm not surprised that Bayern have won all the games, not surprised they're scoring goals. Kimmich's the one that surprised me more than anything.
As Stevie mentioned, Ali, Lewandowski's goals now you take for granted. Two more today, closing in on that record held by Gerd Müller for 40 goals in a single Bundesliga season.
And it's not going to slow down, Dan. This is a guy that has a drive to score goals. And I think today what he would be disappointed about is the fact that he didn't get a hat-trick. That's the only reason he sticks around for 90 minutes, and that's to get a hat-trick, to score more goals, to make sure that he breaks whatever records he has in his mind. I'm not certain as to whether he's paying attention to Gerd Müller and whether he wants to get to that number or not. I don't know whether he has that in his mind or if that's something that pushes him. But whatever drives him is scoring goals. And you see it, you sense it with his movement off the shoulder of the defenders, inside the 18-yard box. Sometimes he drops off, sometimes he goes in behind. It's difficult to keep track of Lewandowski. And he also does all the sort of little things that and details that you want from a center striker, the hold-up play, peeling off defenders, creating space for others. There's a lot about Lewandowski that you have to love, but I think most of all what you have to love is the hunger to score goals and the fact that he is, without a doubt, in my mind, the number one out-and-out striker in the world, and I don't think there's any doubt about that.
Jules, what struck you from this game?
I'm always amazed how teams like Fortuna Düsseldorf think that they can go to Bayern and be so open. I mean, there were times in the first half where they tried to play from the back. I mean, playing from the back against Bayern Munich, away in Munich as well, was just, I find that baffling how they're not trying to make it harder for Bayern, less pace, even 11 men behind the ball, I don't care, but at least make it a bit harder. That was far too easy. I mean, the first goal, after 15 minutes, maybe they could have hold on a bit longer. It was just too easy, far too easy, and I'm just amazed. And there's just no one parking the bus in the Bundesliga. Maybe it's a good thing, maybe it's not a good thing, I don't know. But in a game like this, as soon as I saw the way they were setting up, the way they were playing, I knew that it could be easily 5, 7, maybe even 10. It could have been 10 on another day. I'm just amazed how open they are.
Now, when we were talking about the return of the Bundesliga, Stevie, we talked about the fact actually this could be very much advantageous for Bayern Munich regarding their Champions League credentials. However, as someone asked on Extra Time yesterday, they made quite a good point, didn't they, in the fact that, hey, Bayern are going to be wrapped up by June. There's then a month break before the Champions League restarts, as opposed to the other contenders who are going to be competing in their domestic leagues until the end of July. Bayern Munich won't really have a proper match now until the Champions League is back. They've got Bayer Leverkusen next week, but they can afford to lose that given the lead they have at the top of the table. How difficult a situation are they in to get themselves ready fully for August in the Champions League, Stevie?
Well, they're not going to be able to get themselves ready the way the other sides are. Regardless of who they play, the team that they're playing against will have had matches behind them and will be far sharper and certainly far more match ready. I think we have to remember that the Bayern performance against Dortmund is for me a pointer to what might happen come the Champions League, because it was a proper game and they clearly weren't at their best, and they had already had a couple of games behind them before that game. So if they're going to be at best how we were against Dortmund, regardless of who they pull in the Champions League, it's going to be a struggle for them. I mean, there's just no way around it unless they can get games under the belt, which they're not going to be able to do. Not proper games anyway.
They're in a similar situation to PSG, Jules, that we've discussed quite a bit, in the fact that they're very much at a disadvantage as well, because their league is done, obviously, and they won't play a proper game until August. So does it give the Spanish and English clubs a little bit of an advantage going into the next round of matches?
Well, I think there's two sides. You can, yes, argue that it would be better for any club still in the Champions League or even in the Europa League to play until the end of July and then be already ready with the rhythm, with the fitness to go and continue in August for the European competitions. You can also say that those clubs will play a lot between whenever their league starts again and the end of July. They will play every 3 days. And there's a point that maybe injuries will happen in mid-July, for example, that they would get tired, maybe as well, physically and mentally, of having to play every 3 days. And all of that, and maybe that would be a disadvantage. I think Bayern Munich, like PSG, will probably look at organizing friendly matches, little friendly tournaments, having a training camp there and there. But you're right, that doesn't replace competition and competitive games. So it would be very interesting to see the first week of August, and especially at least Bayern will have a second leg to play against Chelsea, where they're already almost through to the quarterfinals, whereas PSG will go straight into the quarterfinal with no games before that as well.
Ali, where do you stand on all of this?
Well, I would be more concerned about Bayern Munich if I didn't see evidence in front of me that this is a team that has their mindset in the correct place. See, today would have been a very easy game to just kind of take lightly. One of those games in which you may feel it's a trap game, where you have played Dortmund in the midweek, you come off getting that big win and know what that means in the league, and then you're playing lowly Fortuna Dusseldorf, and then next week you're playing Bayer Leverkusen, who would be sort of the next big challenge in front of you. And instead, what we saw is a Bayern Munich team that right now, when you put any team in front of them, they don't care. They're a machine right now. And so it's going to be difficult to carry that momentum onto Champions League. But I think mentally, this team is where they need to be. And I think Hansi Flick is going to do a job, or his most difficult job is going to be maintaining that level of focus, that level of intensity and urgency as you go into Champions League. But this is not new for Bayern Munich and for a lot of these players. These are some of the criticisms that you had of Bayern Munich even in the days going back to Pep Guardiola, where they had wrapped up the league and now you have to go into Champions League and you were not quite able to sort of flip the switch on and off. So if there is something to sort of hang on to, if you're Bayern Munich, we've been here before. We sort of know what this feels like. Have we learned from those experiences in the past, and can we move forward? I think the mindset right now for Bayern Munich is correct.
Meanwhile, no Coutinho. Once again today, he's been linked to a number of clubs over the last few weeks, including the likes of Newcastle. The latest one, Julian, is Arsenal.
No chance. It's impossible. I know where it comes from. It comes from France, a newspaper with no credibility whatsoever. I mean, we could talk about it, but there's no chance. It's not my one. And the only thing that could make people doubt slightly is that Coutinho's agent is obviously Kia Jorabchan, who is very, very good friends and very close to Edu, the Arsenal sporting director. But that's where he stops. Arsenal cannot afford either a transfer fee, his wages, not even a loan with a paying loan or anything like this. And there were already links last summer with Coutinho. Even if Mesut Ozil leaves, they're not going to replace him by Coutinho. So this one, I can guarantee you, will never happen.
Of course, not featuring today because of injury, because of the surgery that he had. But Ali, I tell you what, if I'm a big club, I would go nowhere near Coutinho.
I wouldn't either. The steep drop-off of Coutinho has been incredible. You mentioned that the trend for him was on an upward trajectory going towards Barcelona. And then it feels like he plateaued there, and not only plateaued, but then started taking some huge, huge steps back, and to the point now to where he's nowhere to be found. And so for me, Coutinho and the expectations and the money and the salary and all of those things just kind of came together, and it was too much for him. Some people can handle it. Some players can handle it. Some people can't. And Coutinho has proven to be a guy that was not able to handle not the moment with Barcelona, not the transition to Bayern Munich, not playing at Bayern Munich. There is nothing real positive to hang on to if you're Coutinho and say, yeah, this is where my career is going. And I'm guessing that right now, as he recovers from injury, he's probably thinking, where is my career going? Where am I going as a player? Where is it that I'm going to be able to find my footing once again and be the player that I thought I was going to be? And right now, none of those top-tier clubs would be lining up for Coutinho. He is going to end up settling into sort of mid-table club somewhere that is going to take a chance on a player. But in order to do that, you're going to have to take a pay cut because nobody else is picking up that salary.
It's a shame, Jules, because obviously when he was at Liverpool, he was so brilliant for any football fan to watch. And yet we've seen, as Ali say, this trajectory so steep, so downward, that it's very difficult to see how he's going to bounce back.
Yes, you're right. Again, wrong move. Stevie often speaks on the show about making those decisions, and sometimes you find a manager that sees the best in you or moves you out in another position, and then you explode, things like that. But the other way around is true as well. You can go in a wrong club at the wrong time as well, when the boss of the team is never going to be built around you. And I think for Coutinho, as talented as he is, he needs a team around him, and needs a team that plays with him, where he's got the freedom to express himself when he's not put on one wing, for example, or he doesn't have to give the ball straight away to someone else like Leo Messi. And I think Barcelona from the beginning was the wrong move for him completely. And after that, when you're up here in terms of transfer fees and wages, it's very, very difficult to go for anything lower. And there will be no teams who are ready to take that gamble, because we saw with Bayern Munich, they thought, okay, maybe he's a bit different than what we have. He can play in the hole, he can play a bit deeper, maybe he can play wide now and again. And then look at the result. There was just nothing in there.
Thanks, James. Just a reminder, three more matches in Germany coming up over the next 48 hours. Borussia Mönchengladbach take on Union Berlin, Paderborn against Borussia Dortmund. Then on Monday, it's Köln against Leipzig.
Hello, this is your apartment. I need some favors from you. Your cat keeps rubbing against the kitchen island, and I can't return the favor. Can you give her extra pets for me? After that, could you bundle your renters and car insurance with GEICO? We could save money, and it's easy to do online. And one last thing. Could you leave the TV on during the day? I need to catch up on my soaps.
GEICO. For bundling made easy, go to geico.com today.
Foot odor throwing you off your game? Stick to a winning game plan with Odor Eaters, featuring three advanced odor and wetness fighters. The lineup provides long-lasting odor control plus more to keep your feet on their game.
Odor Eaters powder provides outstanding moisture control. Clear drying spray is the MVP in preventing athlete's foot, while insoles work continuously to manage wetness while adding a layer of comfort. Pick up today at Walmart, Target, CVS, Dollar General, or other fine retailers.
Odor Eaters. Destroy foot odor with the best in odor defense.
Normally you get just cliche answers, don't you, from footballers. Not from Thomas Delaney, though, who spoke to Gavin Jules on their latest podcast. We spoke about it a little bit yesterday. Here's more of that interview where he's asked about Jadon Sancho.
Clearly one of the biggest talents that I've played with. But with that talent comes a lot of pressure. And I think that he slowly starts to feel that from the England whole national team and clubs surrounding him now. I don't see as a player, technical and physical, any limits for him. You know, he can get up there, but the question will be in his head and the effort he puts in and of course luck, injuries and stuff. But only looking at his skills, he definitely has what it takes to become one of the five biggest players in the world, and then all the things around is very difficult to see clear at this moment if it's enough, because you know you see big talents not go to waste. I would say he already did enough to prove himself. You know,
yeah.
He's 19 and you know he's most score points in the league together with Timo Werner and Lewandowski, and that's amazing. But you know, he should strive for more, because there's definitely room for that.
Well, Jules and Stevie still with us. Shaka Hislop joins the conversation as well. Shaka, Thomas Delaney hasn't read The Player's Guide to Cliché Answers. And surely he says, yeah, he's got everything, all the tools to be a top world-class player, which he kind of says, but then he says, look, mentally, it seems to take a strain on him, the pressure that he's getting from England. This is quite something coming from not a coach, but a teammate.
Yeah, it is. Players don't talk about each other that way, about having to feel the pressure, especially when that the player in question is as important to the team as Jadon Sancho is to Borussia Dortmund. Listen, on the one hand, maybe it is coming from a genuine place, a slightly older, slightly more experienced player, seeing somebody as talented as Sancho, maybe just wanting to encourage him by his words. But in the other, I find it strange in that where was this kind of criticism or encouragement, as I phrase it, first half of the season? And since we came back in the new year, short start of the season, then the lockdown, and he's been injured and coming off the bench since he restarted. So from that angle, I find it kind of strange. The timing of it all doesn't add up for me.
Stevie?
Hey, yeah. Listen, this is down to the interrogation team that is the Gab and Jules podcast. They absolutely set him up, got him feeling good, and he spilled the beans. I mean, that's all it is. Hey, honestly, you guys can get a job in the Secret Service any day of the week, you two. Listen, the guy was being absolutely honest, but they bottled him up, good time, and he spilled the beans. But what he said is correct, both about Sancho feeling the pressure, because the guy's only 19. I mean, it would be a strange thing for a 19-year-old to be able to handle all this talk for so long about, you know, wages and going for over 100 million. I mean, that's tough for anybody, never mind a 19-year-old. And I agree with him as far as talent. I mean, when he's playing and he gets the ball at his feet, I take notice. There are very few players where you actually sit up and go, well, hold on a second, something's capable of happening here. And again, we're talking about a 19-year-old, so he absolutely has, you know, the sky's the limit. I think he could be the next Hazard, no question, and he's not that far off. So, yeah, but Gab, Jules, fantastic job. Well done.
All these compliments made you forget that it was his birthday in March. He is, in fact, 20 years old now. But, Jules, is this kind of...
Oh, you should be able to handle it now, then.
I'm sorry, I'm just like dropping a... I was doing it in a nice way. I wasn't saying, you idiot, do some research. I was saying, oh, yes, you know, he's just turned
20. He didn't have to use the word idiot. Listen, see, that's typically you.
Jules, what do you think about this overall?
I mean, first of all, Thomas Delaney was an absolute pleasure to have on the show. He was great to interview as well.
And then you stitched him up,
very
yeah?
Well spoken.
Yeah,
no, we didn't at all. We didn't at all. And I think, like the boys have said, he only told the truth, really, is that when you're 19 and you've got all those expectations on you, all that pressure, especially...
He's 20, Jules. 20.
He's not 19.
20, sorry, 20.
Everybody knows that.
You know, Stevie, I don't listen to
you're
what Dan says anyway.
Jules, you're an idiot. Come on, Dan, tell him.
So when you're 20 and you've got all that expectation and all that pressure on you, especially in England here, or where they're very, very quick to bring you on a pedestal, really, especially when you've got that talent and suddenly they're expecting you to go and win the World Cup for them, I think it's a lot to take, and especially when your name is mentioned pretty much in every club, in every transfer possible for record fees there and there. I don't think it's easy to deal with, and I think maybe it's the reflection of what Thomas Delaney has seen as well, seeing Jadon Sancho every day at training, or pretty much every day after the lockdown was eased off, and all of that. Maybe that's the feeling that he had, that it is difficult for a 20-year-old, 19, 18, 17, whatever, and it must be the same for Kai Havertz, for example, for Kylian Mbappe, and all those prodigies to live with all those expectations and pressure.
Just a minute, Jules.
I mean, my query to that is, if that's what he's seeing and that's what he's sensing from Jadon Sancho in training, then come out and say that. Come out and say that the speculation around a possible transfer and the kind of money involved maybe is getting to him on the day-to-day. But don't package it in that he's feeling pressure from the England national team. He's not been a starter for Southgate. You know, he's not an automatic on the team sheet. Don't question his output for Borussia Dortmund, but then turn around and say, well, he's been involved in just as many goals as Lewandowski. That doesn't make sense. So for me, a lot of what Thomas Delaney is saying, again, if packaged differently, maybe I'll give it more credence. But the way he said it and some of his supporting evidence, shall we call it, I think it's flawed.
Shaka.
I think that's a bit harsh, Shaka. I think what was also very interesting in what Delaney said, he said it will all be in his head. And I think, again, he's spot on because the talent is there. We know it. And he's only 20, as Dan keeps reminding us. And so that won't be an issue. The issue, if there could be an issue somewhere, would be mentally. Can he support all that pressure? Can he cope with it? Can he deal with it? Will he have the perfect attitude off the field in terms of the way he lives his life? And I think Delaney said at some point, the effort that he puts in as well, the effort that he puts in on the pitch at training, but also off the pitch, eating well, sleeping well, and et cetera, because talent-wise, he can definitely be in the top five, top three best player in the world, maybe a Ballon d'Or winner one day. But if the rest doesn't follow, it would be harder for him. And I think, again, I think there was so much in that one answer to take from Delaney on Jadon Sancho and the future of Jadon Sancho that I thought was very, very interesting.
Last word to you, Stevie, on this.
Oh, he's getting on, that boy.
Hey. Right.
He's getting old.
21 now.
As we speak.
Jules, the reports obviously heavily linked to Manchester United. The latest one saying Borussia Dortmund want 100 million. United aren't willing to pay 100 million. This is a soap opera that is going to go on and on, isn't it, you'd imagine?
I think so, but if you were United and even if you don't want to go too crazy on the transfer market, even if you have the money and Ed Woodward has said at times, oh, this transfer window will be different, we won't go crazy, but we know they've got the money, do Jadon Sancho. Do Jadon Sancho, because if you don't do it this summer, the following summer when things will go back to normal, let's say, and I don't know, Real Madrid, for example, might be looking for someone to replace Gareth Bale somewhere, or other clubs like maybe Barcelona or PSG or others, suddenly there will be far more people queuing for Jadon Sancho than there is right now, because right now he certainly looks like United, one in the front seat because they've made contact very early on and they've spoken to his people and everything. And two, it looks like they're the one ready to put that money down for him right now. I think if they wait for too long, there will be far more clubs and more options for Jadon Sancho as well to choose, and maybe then he would be choosing someone else than United.
Boys, thank you very much. Jules and Shaq are my guests on Extra Time today. Be sure to check that out over on our YouTube channel, answering your tweets. Ligue 1 was obviously cancelled earlier this month. Lyon have not been happy since the decision. This is the latest movement regarding their petition. Olympique Lyonnais has officially petitioned the Ligue de Football Professionnel this evening to ask to reconsider the position to definitively stop the 2019-2020 Ligue 1 season, which it took on April the 30th in a hasty manner. The Prime Minister yesterday announced that professional football clubs will be allowed to resume training from June the 2nd and that friendly matches could take place from June the 22nd. Jules, any chance that we could see a reversal first off, that they could say, actually, you know, maybe we're a bit hasty, let's get things going again?
I think it's very slim, Dan. The league has already said we're not going to start again this season. We're already working on the next one, when we start and all that structure. But what's interesting, and I think what Olaz is saying now, he said back then when that decision was taken, the government then said there could be no football until September. That's why the decision was taken. But now, clearly the goalposts have moved, because now they're saying, oh, hang on, we could have friendly matches by the end of June. What? And then we could even have fans in the stadium by the end of July. So suddenly, it's not the same at all. There will be no football between now and September. Now, this could be football as early as in 3 weeks' time. And then even fans back in stadiums before anybody else, clearly, it sounds like, at the end of the following month, in July. So Olaz is saying, yeah, this doesn't add up. And I think he's got a fair point. And he's saying, not finishing the season, we will have a dramatic impact on the clubs, especially financially, economically. So why don't we play at least a few more games, and then we can stop, and then we can start again in August, the following one, like everybody else. But at least, we could think about or discussing or debating playing again, finishing a bit of the current season, because clearly that was the wrong decision to make, and it was made far too early.
How much is this representing other clubs and their views?
Well, obviously for Lyon it's important because if you remember before when the season was stopped, they were outside of the European position. They can still win the French Cup, for example, and go to the Europa League that way. But if they wanted Champions League football, it's in their interest that we can continue and finish the season. It's not the same for a team like Marseille, who are second and who are very happy to go into the Champions League next season. Same for Rennes in third place. Same for teams like Nice, who finish in the Europa League positions. So for them, obviously, continuing the season and finishing it, maybe not so good idea, because for all they know, they can finish 10th or 11th, and then someone else will be in their positions. But I think there's the frustration is there, certainly amongst fans and other clubs and players as well, because clearly it was a mistake. And I think it's gathering a bit of pace, what Olas wants to do. And at the moment he says, let's just talk. Let's just sit down and talk. He's asking for the league to have another video conference meeting next week at some point in exceptional circumstances. And then he said, I just want to talk about it because maybe we can work something out all together.
Logistically, how does it work? You mentioned there that maybe clubs like Marseille are more than happy for the season to finish because they're guaranteed a spot in the Champions League. How many clubs need to agree, just for example, for things to restart by the start of July?
You will need majority of the 20 Ligue 1 clubs to do that. And then you still have the federation after that will have to validate your vote, which, for example, they didn't do with Ligue 2, who didn't want any relegation. And the French Federation said, no, that's not how it works. So we're not going to do that. And you'll have two clubs relegated. So the French Federation at the end will have the key, the last word, the final word, if you want. And when you know that the head of the French FA, Noël Le Graët, is at war with the Lyon president, Jean-Michel Aulas, it looks like this can't go nowhere, really, even if the league decided to want to start again. So it's a very difficult one. I don't even know how many clubs Olas would get who would want to restart the season, but it would be a very difficult task. And I think it's a shame because now it doesn't reflect good on French football. For the image of Ligue 1, it's not good. Every other league is starting pretty much apart from us, Belgium and the Netherlands. And I just don't think it's a good thing for French football.
Jules, thank you very much. Another Frenchman with us on tomorrow's show, Frank Leboeuf. To discuss everything that's going on in the footballing world, be sure to join us.
GEICO has the insurance industry leading app that lets you manage your policy anytime, anywhere, which means that GEICO is always there for you. If only everyone was always there for you. Like animal control, when you're cornered in your garage by an angry possum.
Hi, me again. You guys said you would be here about an hour ago, and I think the possum is starting to get angry. Listen, I thought if I fed it, it would go away, but now it is ripping holes in the drywall and making some sort of nest. Just call me back.
GEICO, always there for you with savings and the industry-leading mobile app.
Napa know-how.
Father's Day knickknacks. That funny mug, ironic tie, or worse, IOU coupon books. It's time to get yourself something you want, Dad, like a Craftsman half-inch corded impact wrench for $99.99. It's the perfect gift to give to yourself. And while you're here, don't forget to shop all our great deals on Craftsman tools. Quality parts, helpful people. That's Napa know-how.
Napa know-how.
At participating Napa Auto Parts stores while supplies last. Offer ends 6/30/20.
Elsewhere today, Hertha Berlin looking good, aren't they, since their return. 3 wins out of 4, 2-0 victory over Augsburg. Piątek once again on the score sheet. That's 2 goals in the last 2 matches for him. Meanwhile, Hoffenheim with a 1-0 victory away against Mainz. For Schalke, the misery just continues. They can't buy a win at the moment. It is, meanwhile, a huge victory for Werder Bremen, taking all 3 points. We'll have a look in a moment how that affects their hopes of staying up this season. And elsewhere, Eintracht Frankfurt, who had been miserable as well, managed to take all 3 points with a 2-1 victory away against Wolfsburg. Now, what that means, Werder Bremen still second from bottom, but just 3 points now away from safety. Paderborn still propping everybody up. Well, that brings us to the end of today's show. Be sure to join us tomorrow for more. Till then, goodbye. Welcome in then to the latest edition of Extra Time. Shaka Hirsov and Julien Laurent with us to answer your tweets. In case you missed it on yesterday's show, Jules used a lovely analogy describing Barcelona trying to get Lautaro Martinez, like going into a Lamborghini shop and offering, what was it, your car, your wife's car, and your kids' bicycles, and hoping that you get the Lamborghini.
And a bit of cash. They said no. I'm sorry to break to you. They said no.
Sounds like you've done that before, Jules. That's more considering.
You know, if you don't try, you don't get.
Oh, man. Shaq used to have a Maserati. What did you have to trade in for your Maserati, Shaq?
How did we reach here? We're talking about Jules and his Lamborghini. How did we reach here?
Okay, right. Jules, Inter took Manchester United's old car, Alexis, wife's car, Ashley Young, and their kids' bikes, Lukaku. So why won't they take Barca's this year?
That's a very good question. One, because this time is the other around, so they will have to sell one of their players in exchange to those three, whereas they didn't have to give United anything to get those, so they did those on their own behalf, I guess. And I think Lukaku especially has been a success for them, so no problem there. The other two, it's a bit more debatable, but listen, it's easy. That's why release clause exist. They exist because those clubs know that the players that they have on their books will at some point be very coveted, and that if they put a price, then there's no need for negotiation or anything. It could be someone coming, they spend the money, they put the check on the table, like PSG did with Neymar and Barcelona, and the players is off. That's why we do those. We don't do them for then a club to come and say, do you know what? We really like Lautaro. We love him and Messi really wants him, but it's too expensive. So what about, and then trying to be like a carpet seller and trying to, you know, to, oh, and what about this? And we could have used any analogy, really, because this is embarrassing for Barcelona. Either you have the money and you go for him, or you don't have the money and you can't go and you said no, and then you look at other options.
Why a Maserati, Shaq?
And why white?
How are we back here again? How we get to me and my Maserati again?
Did you love it or did you regret it?
No, I loved it. And as I've said on this show many times before, I'm a little bit of a car buff. I did engineering because my dream job was to design cars. And then Ferrari bought over Maserati. The car that I bought was their first under Ferrari's ownership. I thought it was fantastic. I bought myself a car. At my wife's insistence, by the way, I saw it alighted, and my wife is the one who told me, go ahead and get it. Let me just put that out there.
I'm not saying anything, Shaq. I'm just asking, why a Maserati? Why didn't you just get a Ferrari then?
Because the Maserati was new, it was fresh, there weren't any on the road, you didn't see anybody else.
Like you, Shaq, in Newcastle.
And it was fairly affordable. More so than a Ferrari, anyway. It was not white, Julian.
Sorry, I thought it was.
No.
But the number plate was Shaka 1, yeah?
Carry on. It was not Shaka 1. It was not Shaka 1. To answer your question, Dan.
Sure. There we go, right. Come back. This is a football question. Should PSG get a new right back? If so, who, Jules?
It's not should they, it's they will get a new right back because Thomas Meunier will leave on a free at the end of his contract. They didn't want to give him a new deal. So they are looking. There are already a few people that they have in mind, I think, that they're looking at. I think Serginho Dest, for me, I would love to see Dest in that PSG team, in a very attacking team as well, even if he's young and maybe lacks a bit of experience. I think that would be fantastic. And you know that you will have him for many years to come as well. Last year, obviously, when there were the talks with Barcelona for Neymar to go back to the Camp Nou, they were really keen on Nelson Semedo. I don't know if they would revisit it, that option, without Neymar having to go the other way. But I think they're there on the market, keeping an eye open. Marusic from Lazio is another one that Leonardo really likes as well, who can play in the back three or in the back four, or back five and back four. So there's a few names there. The thing for sure is that they don't want to spend too much money. They're not going to go and sign a right back for 50 or 40 million euros. So let's try to be creative. Maybe and that's why I think I like the Dest possibility.
Yeah. Yeah, and also, you know, that's good for your work, isn't it, Jules, eh? US international, lots of work for you. We can see it, don't worry.
The thing is, if PSG don't want to spend too much money, they could always offer a lawnmower or, you know, their kids' skateboard.
True. Yes, skateboard.
I think you have a
couple of scooters.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Did you ever have a personalised number plate, Jules?
No, I mean, obviously we don't have them in France. So when I moved to this country, I discovered them and I was gobsmacked, and I don't know what I would go for. Like Jules 4, because I'm born on October the 4th. I mean, I'm not really sure. Like
my wife, you just wouldn't get
my,
one,
my sister-in-law who's called Julia has one, Jules 10, which I think is a pretty cool one. But yeah, I don't know what I would go for. Do you have one, Dan?
God, no. How pretentious is that?
Shaka had one.
Well, Shaka, of course, it's Shaka. Shaka had a white Maserati.
Yeah, yeah.
Shaka won.
Jules, which PSG number 9 was better in their prime? This is good. Ready?
Ooh.
Zlatan, Cavani, yeah, or Weah?
Ooh.
Oh, you have to go for George Weah. Bro. He was magnificent. I mean, Zlatan was great at a time where they needed a marquee signing and a superstar to develop the brand and win the league, obviously, and everything. And Cavani, at the moment, 200 goals in 301 appearances. It's fantastic. The ratio is great, and he's the club record goal scorer. But Weah had something different. He had something special. He brought that team in a team that was quite defensive at the time. There was only him and Ginola to be there to create before Rai arrived. And he was just fantastic. First African player, obviously, to win the Ballon d'Or as well. And some of the goals he scored. And for me, growing up as a 14, 15 year old, going to the Parc des Princes and seeing George Weah was just wow. He was so elegant. He was so powerful. Technically, he was fantastic as well. And I think more than Ibra, who always looked a bit detached, really, and didn't really maybe share the love for the club and etc. Weah really embraced everything in Paris, and it was fantastic to see.
Shaka, did you ever score a goal in your career? If not, what is the closest that you ever came to scoring?
I scored when I was at college in the US. I used to come out and play out in the park every so often, so I have a few goals in the name, but never scored a goal professionally. The closest I came was West Ham against Spurs, where I cleverly let the ball go past to Anton Ferdinand, who had a better position than me. So I was just very selfless in my goal-scoring efforts.
Is that pathetic jump, Shaq, where you just jump like 2 inches off the ground?
It was a deceiving jump. It was very deceptive in nature. It fooled everybody in the Spurs. Well, I was lined up along the goal line. That's what that was, Dan.
Okay.
You didn't miss the ball.
I left it to Anton Ferdinand. Because I saw him there out the corner of my eye. Hold on, I'm still explaining my assist, Dan. I saw Anton Ferdinand.
You ducked out the way. That's what you did. Because you got scared.
With my peripheral vision. Because my peripheral vision is a full 270 degrees. And I spotted
it. Wow.
And let it go by. That's what happened.
For Shaka, today is Captain Fantastic Stevie G's birthday. Any particular favourite memory of him?
No, none at all. None at all, as it happens, Dan.
Nothing springs to mind.
Nothing. And why should it?
Okay. All right then, Shaq, here we go. Which French West Indies island is the best to visit and party in up Shaka style? I'm assuming Shaka has visited the different islands and left his mark on each and every one. Has Jules ever been to any of the islands? Shaq, how's your mark?
I have no idea. The only of the French West Indian islands I've been to is the French half of St. Martin, and I went there on my honeymoon with my darling wife.
Oh, beautiful. Jules, have you ever been to there?
I haven't been to Martinique or Guadeloupe or French Guiana either. I think French Guiana maybe for the party would be great, but all of them are, or even to the French side of St. Martin, but I think all of them are pretty spectacular, I think, to visit, to spend time on.
Jules, after a freebie. Okay, next question.
Always.
Honest, this isn't fair. On a scale of 1 to 10, how smarmy is Dan Thomas?
Smarmy? What's smarmy? What does that mean, smarmy?
It's kind of like used car salesman smarmy,
yeah,
isn't it?
That's kind of slimy, a slime ball, as the Americans would say.
Yeah.
Oh.
I'm going to leave this one to Julian because I'm sure you can. I'm sure you can guess my answer.
I can't though, Shaka. No, we've been friends for a long time. I don't think you would describe me as smarmy.
Who are you? The one who just accused me of having a white Lamborghini with a personalized license plate and leaving my mark all over the Caribbean? I'm putting that in you, Dan.
I'm just reading the tweets.
I'm putting that in you, Dan.
I'm reading the tweets. You make up a lot of stories about me, Shaq, that stick.
I'm putting that in you. You chose those tweets.
I do not choose the tweets. That must be clear.
I am 38% sure that you wrote those tweets.
Where's your 38 from? Right, final one. For Jules, here we go. This is the big one. Start one, bench one, sell one. Now, all of this is when they're in their absolute prime.
Okay.
Neymar, Zidane, Platini.
Oh. So it's wait, start one, bench one, and sell one. Okay, go ahead. Go ahead, Julian.
Yeah. So I'll sell Neymar.
Yeah. Sell.
Thank you, Shai. I'll sell Neymar and get a lot of money for him to go on holidays in the French Caribbean islands.
Buy a Maserati.
Buy a white Maserati with the registration. Come on, no. Between Platini and Zidane, I have to start one of them and the other one will go on the bench. I will start Platini and only for this reason, because he was more of a goal scorer than Zidane. Zidane, incredible creator, wonderful playmaker, that technique and
Julian,
the ability.
No!
Yes.
No!
Hear me out, Shaka, hear me out.
Platini, you have to.
Listen. I want to win the Euros and Platini can score me 9 goals in 5 matches.
Zidane,
and Zidane
won
can
the
maybe
World
create hundreds of chances.
But the match. Jules!
He won't because he scored 2 goals in the final with his head. He never scored before and has hardly scored after that. But I think that Platini, in a sense, if you think about 2 number 10s, although they had a different profile, I think Platini was more complete in the sense that he could create and was a wonderful playmaker, can play from deep as well and everything. And the vision was fantastic, but he could score more easily, right foot, left foot, headers. And Zidane would never finish Capo Cannoniere in Serie A, for example, like Platini did. And I think for me, that's why I think I would start Platini, bench Zidane. And if things go wrong, Shaq, then I bring on Zidane and have fun.
Well, no, you see, with that theory, you've got it wrong, Jules, because Shaq is right, because when Zidane gets sent off, then you bring on Platini. Bosh. There you go.
That's true.
Neymar will not be inviting you to his party next year. Party. You will not have him.
I've been already now, so it's
okay. Oh, that's it. It's over now.
He's left his mark. Julian has left his mark at that party.
Left his mark. Shaka in the French.
Don't know what you're talking
about.
Don't know what you're talking about, Dan.
Right,
no
gentlemen,
idea.
That's it. Thank you very much. Shaka's internet didn't break. That's a good thing. We'll be back tomorrow. Keep your tweets coming in at ESPNFC. Smarmy. I'm not smarmy.